The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod.
September 14th.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. In 2001, the International Space Station continued to take shape. Russia launched the station's docking module into orbit, where it automatically located and docked with the first piece of the station that had gone into orbit. The Pierce module added docking ports and an airlock, vital parts of the future ISS. In 2007, Japan launched the Kaguya space probe to the moon. While its experiments in lunar orbit included spectrography, radio science, and charged particle and gamma ray detection, Kaguya was most famous for the two HD video cameras mounted to it, providing spectacular views of the moon from orbit. The cameras were provided by Japanese television network NHK. Author Martin Caden was born on this day in 1927. His 1964 novel Marooned was turned into a movie in 1969, starring Gregory Peck and Gene Hackman, which naturally became fodder for Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Well, this is a great time to start learning how to fly it.
Because all you guys got to worry about is where you want me to set you down after I make the transfer.
Go on, pick your spot. Edwards, Vegas, how about the beach in Malibu?
Why not?
Sure.
All right, take your pills, go to sleep, leave the driver to us.
Good night, I'm out of here.
I'll see you in 39 hours and 16 minutes.
Not if we see you first.
But the movie based on Caden's novel had much more far-reaching effects in the real world, becoming a kind of visual aid for planners and policymakers already involved in the early stages of the International Apollo-Soyuz test project flight in 1975. In 1972, Caden also wrote the novel Cyborg, which was adapted for television as The $6 Million Man.
Steve Austin, astronaut. A man barely alive.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man.
Walter Koenig was born today in 1936. He's best remembered as Star Trek's Chekhov.
How close will we come to the nearest Klingon outpost if we continue on our present course?
1 parsec, sir. Close enough to smell them.
That is illogical, Ensign. Odors cannot travel through the vacuum of space.
I was making a little joke, sir.
Extremely little, Ensign.
And as the scheming psycop Bester from Babylon 5.
Just 50 quarters to search. Good. That should help narrow it down. Anatomically impossible, Mr. Garibaldi. But you're welcome to try. Anytime. Anywhere.
Actor Callum Keith Rennie, Battlestar Galactica's Cylon stalker Leoben, was born today in 1960. Director Robert Wise, the man behind the camera for movies from West Side Story to The Sound of Music to The Day the Earth Stood Still, The Andromeda Strain, and Star Trek The Motion Picture, died on this day in 2005. Jerry Fleck, an assistant director who worked on Star Trek The Next Generation, Voyager, and Enterprise, died today in 2003. In 1964, big-screen movie mogul Irwin Allen brought his far-out visions to the small screen for the first time with a TV follow-up to his 1961 movie, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
This is the Sea View, the most extraordinary submarine in all the seven seas. Its public image is that of an instrument of marine research. In actuality, it is the mightiest weapon afloat and is secretly assigned to the most dangerous missions against the enemies of mankind. In command of the Sea View, Captain John Phillips. And in overall charge of scientific projects, the creator and builder of the fabulous ship, Admiral Harriman Nelson.
On this day in 1968, the TARDIS was blown to bits.
What's the matter?
I don't... Jamie, look.
Doctor?
Hmm?
Oh, what's up?
Quiet, Jamie, quiet. That sound. That vibration. It's alien.
I can feel it too. In my head.
Don't seem to be able to concentrate. Concentrate. Both of you, concentrate on something.
I can't.
What is it?
Read up the figures to me so we're loud.
9-9-1.
Louder, both of you. Read them off.
2.
Oh, 2. Oh, it's getting stronger.
3.
Oh, dragging me.
4. Oh.
Concentrate, both of you.
5.
Oh, it's too strong.
6.
It's too powerful.
7.
Oh, it's too powerful.
8.
Oh, I must fight.
9.
Doctor Who entered the Twilight Zone in part one of the acclaimed surreal story, The Mind Robber. In 1963, though it didn't involve starships or phasers, NBC premiered the first episode of the first television series created by Gene Roddenberry.
Go on, Private.
Well, sir, after the corporal left me at the crossing, I noticed that the aggressors were about 30 yards away in the trees and on the deck.
Sergeant, pass back the word to get them on their feet.
Get them up!
Get them up!
Let's make it!
Okay, we'll form a skirmish line.
Go back carefully.
The lieutenant followed the exploits of a recently promoted Marine platoon commander named William Tiberius Rice, dealing with peacetime military issues such as favoritism among the ranks, racism, and disclosing information to the press. One episode was rejected by NBC for being too controversial, and the series gradually lost favor with the network as any mention of the military was becoming a hot-button topic thanks to the Vietnam War. The lieutenant was canceled at the end of its first season. In 1974, only a week after they wound up in the Land of the Lost, the Marshall family first encountered the walking lizards, who would become the bane of their existence.
Hey, Will, look at this.
I wonder who wrote it.
Maybe there's somebody else here.
Could be. Beware of Sleestak.
Sreesataka!
Hey, what's wrong with you, Chaka?
Sreesataka! He's been muttering that for hours. Sreesataka!
Hey, do you think he could mean Sleestak?
Yosurisataka! See? He does mean Sleestak.
Hey, well, that's the way we have to go, but... Hey, wait a minute, Chaka!
Hey, Chaka!
Chaka! Come back, Chaka!
On this day in 1977, the Marvel televised universe kicked off with CBS series premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man, starring Nicholas Hammond as college student Peter Parker.
Hello, Parker.
Hi, Mr. Jameson.
I suppose you're here to sell me some exclusive photos on Spider-Man in action.
Well, no, I saw that on television, too. I'm sorry about that, sir.
Come on, boss. You can't expect Pete to get every photo of Spider-Man.
Oh, I can't I? Why else do you suppose I've got him on the payroll?
The network never really showed a lot of confidence in Spidey, giving the show two very short seasons. In 1978, Cinematronics instigated the Space Wars, and the arcade would never be the same. Programmed by Larry Rosenthal, the giant refrigerator-sized coin-op game Space Wars was the first to use vector graphics, also known as XY graphics, allowing for finer details than the computer processing power of the late 70s could put on a traditional raster screen. And in 1992, Playmates became the second company to try to turn Star Trek The Next Generation into a toy line.
Computer subspace transmission to Starfleet Command from Enterprise. Stardate 45481.4. It's a single blast, source unknown. Lieutenant Worf checks weapon systems. Captain Picard orders full shields from Lieutenant LaForge in engineering. Suddenly there is an alien presence on the ship. It's one of the Borg, a hostile robotic life form. Commander Riker returns phaser fire.
Star Trek, The Next Generation. Action figures each sold separately from Playmates.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcast and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader supported. And there's more than just the Escape Pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic, arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing Escape Pod landing procedure. The logbook of your Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Payne.